Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV. KRNW, I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. And joining me, as he always does for Spoofhound Spotlight, is the Maryville R2 Superintendent, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. Once again, want to thank you for joining me this month. And you're not alone this time, though. I mean, it's not retirement yet. So the current principal, correct. The Maryville Middle School, Mr. Pitts. Sorry, yes. I forgot your first name.
Kevin.
Kevin Pitts.
Yeah.
That's a solid name, by the way.
It's silent. Most people just call me Pitts. So.
Pitts, okay.
Yeah, that's what we go with.
And so how many years have you been principal at the Maryville Middle School?
19 years as the principal at the middle school.
And where did it all kind of begin for you in terms of your teaching and, you know, kind of career in education?
Well, I got my elementary ed degree here at Northwest, and then I was hired as a paraprofessional at Washington Middle School, where the fire station is now. That was my first year, and then I stepped into fifth grade teaching position there, and we built a new school. We moved over there, and I taught one more year with Maryville, and then I left and went to South Harrison, and Bethany was the elementary principal there for 2 years. And then the assistant principal's job opened up at Maryville Middle School, and I applied for that and was fortunate enough to be hired. Had that role for 2 years, and then the principal's position opened up, and I stepped into that, and that's where I've been for the last 19.
So having been principal over, I guess, two different sections of public education, middle and elementary, what would you say was easier?
I like the middle school kids. I just have always thought that, you know, it's just a unique age. They go through, we get them when they're 10 years old, and they leave, they can get their driver's permit. So it's just a lot of changes going on. There's a lot of kid in me, and those kids are just kind of awkward and going through a crazy stage in life. And I have just been, I don't know, I just kind of like that.
So for 19 years, I'm sure you've noticed a lot of things, and I'm curious, what would you say is the biggest difference between teens or preteens 19 years ago as opposed to now? Because I feel like so many people could say, you know, their own kind of thing, but I feel like, you know, you've seen the transition and evolution.
I think probably the biggest thing has been the evolution of technology and how 19 years ago, kids didn't have at their fingertips any curiosities they have in their mind, or, you know, everything now is just instant. Like, if they've got any kind of thoughts in their heads, they can just type it in, and they're exposed to the world. That's been difficult to manage, because their brains are growing at the same rate, and they're maturing at the same rate, but the world's coming at them faster than ever before, and trying to manage that's been a challenge, I think, with phones, and, you know, it's just so different than it was 19 years ago.
So do you think part of that is maybe phones taking the kid out of the kid in a way, to where it's bringing the real world quicker to them?
I think so.
Not to get too philosophical.
No, I don't know if you took 25 kids and put them in a park and told them to pick teams and play a game. I'm not sure they would pull that off as well as we did 40 years ago when I was a kid. It's just different. A lot of their lives are organized for them now. There's younger and younger, there's organized things for them to do. So I love it when I see kids outside playing and being creative on their own and not playing games.
So did that, like, affect your approach over the years as a principal?
Yeah. I mean, it's been tough for me, like, personally, to keep up with the changes with technology. I'm just kind of an old small-town kid from Iowa that pretty simple. So, that you know, a lot of it was hard for me to understand as these changes were happening because I, you know, just wasn't into that. And so definitely shifts your paradigm a little bit. And, you know, then you have to look into, I think about 7 years ago, we decided to lock the phones up and we took them away from the kids at school. And we collect them at 8 o'clock and we give them back at 3 o'clock. And it's been, it was really getting in the way of what we were trying to do with kids.
And so 19 years, you know, you've probably seen a lot of students, you know, in and out of the system. Have any of your former students kind of called you up, texted you, or reached out, basically hearing, oh, Mr. Pitts is retiring?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people. I run into a lot of people in town. And one of the cool things with being here for so long is the fact that there's probably 25 or 30 kids in the middle school I taught their parents when they were fifth graders. So it's kind of that full circle thing. And just have met and just know an incredible amount of people. And it's been really cool to hear from a lot of them. And it's just been very positive and fulfilling.
And this is going to be kind of a cliche sounding question, but, you know, what have been some of your favorite moments as a principal?
Oh, boy. Probably just watching teachers have good days, kids, you know, those aha moments where kids get to celebrate things that they've done. The small victories sometimes are better than the big victories. And overall, just watching kids grow up and figuring out who they are. And then, you know, been here long enough that now you see they're successful business people and probably going to be asking some of them for a job now. So that's kind of cool.
So have any of the students pulled a prank on you yet as you're leaving?
I get pranked every day, it seems like. Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. One this morning, he had this little stuffed-looking pig in his hand, and he said, "You want to pet my support animal?" And I reached out to pet it, and he squeezed it, and it let out this big squeal, and I jumped. So it seems like I get pranked every day. I don't know if I'm just getting dumber or more gullible.
Has there been a... I don't want to encourage anyone, but, like, what's been one of the best pranks that, you know, you think has ever been pulled on you?
Man. One time, our school received an award, and we had an assembly, and I announced the award to all of our staff and students, and I got a little emotional over the deal, and so I came to school. That was on a Friday. I came to school on Monday, and they had taken all the Kleenex boxes out of all the rooms and stacked them in my doorway of my office so I couldn't get in. So I guess I accidentally cried in front of the kids one time, and they didn't forget it. So that's who I am.
Is there a photo of this?
Probably somewhere. I quit announcing stuff in front of people after that. I just send out emails now.
How many Kleenex boxes do you think that was? Sounds really impressive, actually.
It was over 100, probably. It was neat, yeah. And I ran through it like the Kool-Aid Man. It was pretty cool.
Now, I hope there's video or something of that.
We try not to let all our secrets out. been some good ones. We've had... I've had a skunk in the building. I've had snakes, mice. We've had the things that these kids come up with is, you know, and they're, a lot of times it's just harmless stuff that you look back on and laugh and good stuff.
Well, good. So, what has the past year been like? You know, working with Dr. Lightfoot and Lightfoot, what's it been like, you know, working with Mr. Pitts in his final year?
It's been great for me. Dr. Lightfoot's the fifth superintendent I've worked with in this district, fourth or fifth here, and one in Bethany. So it's always really cool to see a new superintendent and their philosophy and how they lead and those types of things. So it's been nothing but good. He's allowed me to be me, which probably isn't easy all the time, and get along great. Great guy, good addition to our school.
And I can tell you, you know, Jeremy, coming into a school district, I got here in July, and so school can be a little bit slower in July than it is in August and September. And so I had a chance to visit with our, you know, our whole team in July, and one of the first people I got to visit with was Mr. Pitts. And I don't say this, you know, because he's standing here, but I think you can tell very good leaders, you can look no further than their heart. And I think the really good ones have a heart for what they do and a passion for what they do, and that is Kevin Pitts. And it's been so much fun to work with him, really just to watch him and just how he manages a school and how he really does when he talks about his love for kids and particularly that middle school age. I mean, that is who he is. And our middle school is one of those, you know, you think of not just Northwest Missouri, but the state of Missouri. It's a model school in many ways, and there's a reason for that. That doesn't happen by accident. It's because of very good leadership, and our district, our community has been very, very blessed because we've had Kevin as our principal. So we're sad to see him go, that's for sure, but his next chapter is going to be great. I know that.
What is going to come next?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Nothing planned right now.
Okay.
I want to work. I want to keep working. I'm a worker, so I want to keep working in some way, shape, or form. I just was, you know, looking for something that's going to be flexible so I can spend a little more time up at the farm and doing those things that my wife has told me that I get to do around the house. So
That might be your full-time job.
Yeah. It doesn't pay as well.
So were there any ideas or initiatives that you're kind of, you know, passing along to the next principal?
You know, Kate's going to take over that chair. She's been with us for 8 years, so she kind of, I'm sure she's going to continue some of the things that we're doing. And
so it'll be a smooth transition.
Yeah, we've pretty well transitioned already. And,
okay.
And, yeah, we're going to continue to do the Leader in Me, where we teach the 7 habits of highly effective people to our kids, and we practice those habits within our curriculum and classroom and try to, you know, find the genius in every kid and find what they're good at and create a safe environment where they can take risks and let it rip and be who they want to be.
Okay. And, you know, we'll get to, you know, next month's meeting, but in terms of the long-range plan, something we've been kind of talking about on Spoof Hound Spotlight all year, what was it that you saw long range you wanted for the middle school that you kind of, you know, either chimed in with or helped guided others to see?
You know, we're blessed to have a great facility. A lot of times when you look at long range planning, it's about facilities. And what was really cool is I got to teach in the old building, and then I got to be part of the transition team when we moved from Washington out to Maryville Middle and help provide the labor to do that and loaded trucks and got to help kind of talk about the design of the building and those things. And so I feel like I've really been invested in that part of it. And now it's like you look, you know, we're building schools for programs that we don't know that exist really. We had a state-of-the-art school when we built it, had these computer labs in the hallways and like super cool. Well, now every kid has a Chromebook, so that's kind of in 20 years obsolete. So just looking to utilize our space and those things. I like what the district's doing, looking to address Eugene Field. You know, education all starts as early as we can get our hands on those kids, and it's important that the early education facilities and programming is in top-notch shape, and then the high school typically have the most needs as far as programming and facilities. They just do more things than elementary and middle school, and that requires more attention and more facilities. So it's, I just kind of been watching this round and enjoying it.
Okay. And so where are things at with the long range plan? I know next month discussing with the Board of Education on a retreat, correct?
That's right. Yeah, we're looking. So right now we're kind of at a point now. We've gotten a lot of community input, which has been great for us to kind of get a couple of different perspectives on, you know, what priorities should be and that kind of thing. I'm pretty comfortable right now. I know for sure, you know, in that phase one of our plan, we're going to definitely address the elementary and early childhood center. Those are two that are top priorities. In terms of the middle school, like Mr. Pitt said, the facility is fantastic. It does have some HVAC issues. We're probably going to have to look at that a little bit. And we're also looking at some outdoor facilities at the high school. So all that being said, our next step, June the 15th, is our Board of Education retreat. And we're kind of hoping at the retreat to really look at how I'm going to have a plan to present to them. We're going to kind of hash everything out and hopefully be able to adopt that in June and be able to kind of roll that out to our public and talk specifically when I say phase one. So what is our first kind of order of business and what we're really going to push next year to start getting rolling and improve our facilities? Because like Mr. Pitt said, we want to start early with education, and there are definitely some things we can do to improve down at the Early Childhood Center, Eugene Field, and to make a better experience for our kids.
Okay. So we'll learn more hopefully next month. The other kind of component of next month is, you know, kind of in the first few weeks of summer school. How are things going with summer school?
Man alive, we have 385 kids.
Wow.
For summer school. So, speaking of Eugene Field, it's going to be packed. So, keeping in line with the last couple of years, and this is something new to me. You know, I've never, number one, seen a summer school that will go, you know, that goes as long as it does. But the amount of kids signed up, it's fantastic when you talk about, you know, wanting to prevent learning loss and all those things. And you've got everybody from kindergarten through eighth grade that we take. Full day, really engaging curriculum. So you've got a lot of hands-on type of activities and things like that. We've got teachers signed up and excited and ready to go. It's going to be 19 days long, and I think for all 19 of those days, kids are going to be busy and engaged, and it should be a great experience. It really should for our kids.
Did you ever have, were you a part of the summer school in the past?
In the past, yeah, we used to have half-day summer school at the middle school.
Okay.
I think we brought the fourth grade over, like fourth through seventh grade, because our eighth graders then would take high school classes. And maybe they had the option to stay back then. But we went to this model several years ago. And so,
how much of a benefit do you think it's been for students?
I think, you know, depending on the student, it can just be a super, super time, you know, that they – you know, just keeps that gap, that time off, shrinks that down a little bit. And then some kids just really enjoy school to the point where they probably go all year if you'd let them. You know, there's those kids out there too. So it kind of serves dual purposes, always really has, on the kids that we want to keep engaged and keep them learning as long as they can, and also kids that just enjoy coming. And it's a little bit more of an enrichment program at times for them, and then a little less rigorous than regular school, and then it's vice versa too. So just kind of depends on what years we were talking about and the programming.
I don't know how you were growing up, but, you know, when I grew up, I did attend summer school for a few years, and then at some point I was just, you know, not going because I had no interest. And so when I hear, you know, what was it, 384?
385.
I was one off. when I hear that number, I go, wow, I really didn't ever want to go to summer school.
Yeah.
I was just kind of forced to. Does it surprise you how many students are interested, or how many students are just like, oh, I want to keep learning, I want to keep doing this, I want to keep coming to school?
Yeah, it does and it doesn't. Looking back, like, you kind of revert back to when you were a kid. There was no way I would have went to summer school. You know, I was run out the door as soon as I could kind of guy. School wasn't my thing. And so to me, it's probably a little more surprising than it would be to some people that actually really liked school when they were little. So I've always been kind of intrigued by that. It's just like, wow, these kids do enjoy school. So I wouldn't have been my thing for sure, but it's cool to see them come.
And so did you have different approaches when it came to just regular school and summer school? Were you more laid back in the summer, or were you just kind of the same level of...
It was when it was at the middle school, and we just had middle school kids, it was much more laid back. We just tried to focus on a lot of enrichment things. I think the programming we have now is much more rigorous, and I think they kind of do like more of the rigorous learning in the mornings and then more of the enrichment in the afternoons, because it's a full-day program now. When we was just had them for like 4 hours and we would send them back home. So it's now it really does serve dual purposes. I think it's a much better program than what we had in the past.
What do you mean by when you say enrichment in the afternoon?
Some of the science experiments and the discovery things, and you know, they might go fly rockets outside or look at different all kinds of just what I would call the cool stuff, you know.
Okay.
Back in the day, like when we would light stuff on fire and things like that, when you could still do those in school, but you know, the cool stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say that I was a terrible student when I thought enrichment. I was like, oh, so movie day.
Yeah, well, those are just the days off. But the enrichment's like it's just trying to explore your mind and think about things you wouldn't normally think about. Okay. The non-textbook stuff, you know. Okay. Like, let's just get out there and see how shadows really work, and let's fly a rocket, and let's put the Mentos in the Diet Coke, and you know, that kind of, that's what I think of as enrichment, like just the, let's just go explore.
Now, we did this in the Scouts because we were cruel children, but it's nothing to me, I swear. But do you guys put, is there little compartments where you can put bugs in the rockets?
I don't know, but there should be.
You sent the bugs up into space?
Well, they didn't go to space. They came back down, and we tried to see if our crew members survived.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were scared to death, but they lived.
I tell you what, it's probably the first thing I'm going to ask Kim Walker when I see her. She kind of runs our summer school program, and I think some crickets need to go to space. I think that'd be cool.
We might have an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they survive.
Yeah.
They want to get out of there as soon as you let them out. But
I'd like to hear their story, their version of that.
Probably like the first... what was it? What was the first animal got sent to space? Was it a dog or monkey?
Oh, it was a dog, wasn't it?
I think it was a dog. I think it was a dog.
A Russian dog.
Yep.
Yeah, because it was the Russians who did it, and yeah. I couldn't remember.
Sputnik.
That poor dog.
Yeah.
probably just waiting the whole time. All right, where are they?
Yep. Just want to be pet.
Cockroaches are just like, I don't know what's going on. They don't go to space. I guess not to derail the everything, but one of the things I want to talk about, legislative session wrapped up. Overall impressions from this year's?
You know, there were some good takeaways for sure. One thing I did, you know, that I feel like they did accomplish that really is going to support public education is their budget this year. They had a couple of initiatives in there that I think is really going to help the state of Missouri public education, but us specifically. They put a lot of money into early childhood education, which I think is a great place to invest when you're talking about education. And when you think about Maryville in particular, we absolutely have a growing need for early childhood education. They fully funded transportation, and so that's going to help us a little bit more as well with our transportation costs. And just in general, I could, you know, go line item by line item. I won't, but it really is pretty favorable to education. And so I applaud our senators and our legislators for putting some, you know, having some tough conversations. And that's never fun to look at a budget and prioritize things that maybe might not be popular, but they did, and I think that's really going to ultimately help our kids next year and set a pretty good precedent for the next couple of years. So that's good.
So quick side note, do you get like a copy of the budget for education and go through it?
Jeremy, I'm one of those odd folks that stuff really intrigues me, and so I do like to read through it.
Yeah, I've tried reading those budgets that. I don't know if anybody knows this, but when you go online to, I think it's houseorsenate.mo.gov, mm-hmm. and you look at those bills, they are long, dense, and confusing.
They are. Go to the bill summary.
So how long is that bill that, you know, is for education? How many pages? Like 10, 12?
Are you talking about the budget?
Well, I mean, for education.
Oh, just in general. I mean, you can, it kind of depends on, like, well, for example, like the, you know, one of the hotly contested ones was open enrollment. And it, I mean, I can't remember the exact page number, but it can be pretty lengthy. But you've got to think about, when you talk about something like that, you've got to spell out all the nuances of what that could mean and the impact it has on schools. And so you really, I'm using open enrollment as an example just because that's, you know, was talked about a lot. You know, how exactly the process works. Can schools opt out? Can they not? You know, how does that impact a student? How does funding look like? That all has to be spelled out in a bill. And so really, when a bill goes to the floor for debate, those are the things that really kind of get debated. And so, you know, the idea of, yes, I do agree or don't agree with open enrollment, sure, that happens. But really, a lot of the debate happens in some of the nuances of it. So how much are we really going to fund this thing? You know, are we going to, you know, send money with kids? Are we not? All those kinds of things. So that really, in a roundabout way answering your question, they are dense, but they kind of have to be.
So when we discuss open enrollment, I believe we're also, it's the also known as the school voucher program, correct?
They're a little bit different. They're a little bit different. And those were, that was kind of the, you know, there were some good things that happened in legislative session this year, but there were also a lot of things that were kind of left on the table. And I actually had a chance a couple of days ago, got to visit with Representative Farnum and Senator Black, and there were a couple of things, I think, that the last 10 days of session were pretty, they were pretty wild and pretty hectic. And some of the major things that I think were priorities for several of our senators and legislators at the beginning of session really didn't get through and, you know, kind of got left undone. I would anticipate those things, open enrollment being one of them, to be a major topic of next year. And they said that as much as well.
And so is there any concern, or is it kind of a wait and see with open enrollment?
Oh, you know, it's wait and see. And yeah, I think I've said this on our radio before. The thing about Nottoway County is, you know, we've got, you know, Maryville's obviously the bigger school district. We've got big and small. We've got very healthy, good school districts in Nottoway County. And that's a good thing our students are blessed to have in our county. So, you know, it's not like we've got, you know, one great school district and, you know, five or six terrible ones. We've got very good schools that serve kids very well. And so, you know, whatever the state, you know, legislator decides, I think, you know, it's more of a wait and see.
And so what was it like this year working with Black and Farnan, and maybe specifically Farnan because he does have that background in education?
It was just my first year coming on. I didn't know what to expect. I worked in the previous 4 years in Nebraska and was pretty active with some of the legislature out there because there were some pretty big bills there. But, you know, I didn't know what to expect coming into it. And just, I enjoyed working with him immensely. He does with his time on school board, and he's a very good advocate for Northwest Missouri schools, and had a chance to work with him on creating a couple of bills that could potentially help us with teacher shortages and things like that. And I always found him to be have an open door and a listening ear. And we don't, you know, we're never going to agree on every single thing, but it's always nice to be able to have a representative in your backyard that is going to, you know, really support you and have the back of your school district.
Okay. So, you know, Mr. Pitts, I almost just said Pitts. Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't shake me up any.
You know, in your 19 years, how do you feel the relationship has been with Jefferson City?
It's been good. I don't get as involved as Dr. Lightfoot and Mr. Klotz get involved. We pay attention. We've got a good group of a principals group that has advocates down there and some lobbyists, and so we stay in tune that way. You narrow your focus a little bit when you're in a specific building, and you kind of watch what's going through the elementary schools and some of those things. And so I look back to Brad Lager's days down there and Mike Thompson, and those guys were pretty friendly to education, and I feel like we've been very well supported. I think overall, Northwest Missouri maybe doesn't have the voice that, you know, you get tired of hearing about people trying to pass laws that are going to take care of St. Louis and Kansas City, and the rest of us are out here in rural America doing great things, and it kind of gets pushed under the rug a little bit. That kind of upsets me, but I'm not afraid to say what I think. So,
I definitely noticed that at this month's legislative coffee. There were a lot of people going, you know, it's great that you did this, this, and this, and it benefits, you know, KC, St. Louis, but what do we get out of it? Yeah. And, you know, it was great to hear the lawmakers tell them, you know, it's not just benefiting Kansas City, St. Louis. It's also benefiting, you know, Maryville, Hopkins, you know, everyone in the community, not only in Nottoway, but Northwest Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think, and sometimes we fall, in education, we fall into this, you know, got to compare everything to everything. And, you know, it's just rarely is it just really apples to apples. And that gets frustrating. You know, our school district is just phenomenal, in my opinion. And I think Northwest Missouri just has great schools. And then the network of principals and teachers that I know, that, you know, we all work in different school districts, but we're all on the same team. We're all, you know, just trying to put our heads together and make our schools better for our kids. And I just think that sometimes we just get, I don't know if underrepresented or underappreciated, the fact that we're really doing a great job out here, and we just get consumed by what's going on in Kansas City and St. Louis, and that's frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else with the legislative session you want to talk about? Or
no, I think, I mean, I definitely wait and see and stay tuned. I think it'll be a fast and furious one next year, that's for sure.
Do you think next year will be more? Well, I mean, this year's was kind of focused on education, but do you think next year's will be as well?
I'd anticipate it. Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple pretty big rocks that they're going to be debating, and I think there'll be a lot of legislation proposed pretty early.
Okay. Well, not to throw water on that, but hopefully they get some sports gambling in there somewhere.
Yes, I bet that will be one as well. Pardon the pun.
Well,
did you catch that?
Yeah. Well, I remember talking with Farnan, and I go, how many of your constituents are like, when are you going to get this done? I'm tired of driving to the Iowa border and opening up my DraftKings app. And and he was like, yeah, I've heard from a few people. So. not throw Jeff under the bus on that one, but I think we're all tired of driving to nearby states for something we all kind of want, especially in our Super Bowl winning state.
Absolutely.
Just rub that into Matt, who will be listening.
That's right.
By the way, have you how's your Seinfeld battle going with him?
We are quoting fools. I'm just telling you. I have not slipped one by him that he doesn't know.
And I assume the same with him trying to slip or throw a curveball, and you just immediately spot it?
Not even, yeah. I mean, it comes across the plate, and I knock it out. I mean, he tried to get one by me at, like, at a banquet, and, yeah, I caught it.
That sounds like Matt. Were you a big Seinfeld guy?
No. Mm-mm.
What was your 90s show? Everyone has, like, a 90s show that they all watched. Some people were all about Friends. I was not.
No. I was either coaching or supervising. I wasn't home much.
Okay.
In my career. We had a lot of evenings out.
Yeah, that's life of a principal.
Just never really got into
a testament to your work.
Yeah, it was. We watched Friends. My wife and I watched that. I'm mostly just an Iowa Hawkeye watcher.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No, it's been good.
Okay, well, I guess if that's everything going on around the district, we'll go ahead and get into the next part of the show, which is Better Know a Superintendent, where I ask Dr. Lightfoot a random question. Pitts, you can chime in.
Perfect.
As well. But I figured I'd start with something that I kind of thought of because we all kind of got summer and the coming months on our mind. And I wanted to know, what is a vacation that you would take if money was, you know, not an issue? What would be your grand vacation that you would take if money was not an issue? And I kind of thought about it, and I have this very geriatric thing where I would take one of those world cruises that's like $50,000 or whatever.
That'd be all right. Mr. Pitts, I'm going to let you go.
Oh, boy.
Is it a Hawkeyes game?
If it was like the national championship game, yeah, absolutely. That would be the best ever. I'm not a big traveler. My wife is dying to go to Hawaii. I don't know if I'd go with her or not, but if money wasn't an issue, at least send her, the kids.
No interest in Hawaii?
I've been to Europe when I was young, and I guess I've never ridden a train. And when I retired, I had always said I was going to, like, fly to the East Coast and ride a train to the West Coast, but that's a little risky. Having never been on a train, I might get to, like, Ohio and, like, jump out or something. So, I don't know. If money wasn't an issue, I would, I might hit some NASCAR races. I'd like to go to, like, a lot of college football stadiums. Yeah.
I assume you've already been to the Kansas Speedway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in your mind, it'd be, like, Talladega or Daytona
Bristol. Like to go to. Yeah, I'd like to get down to the southeast and where it all started.
Yeah. I've heard Daytona's a really nice, not necessarily but the facility there I've heard is just like, just something else.
Yeah. It'd be kind of fun to go on that, like a NASCAR tour and a college football stadium tour. Those are the two. I just really like college football.
Is there a college football stadium in mind that you would love to go to?
I'd like to hit all the Big Ten stadiums. I've been to quite a few, but I'd like to go watch the Hawks play, and then, Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, those LSU.
You don't have a problem being in enemy territory?
No, I get along with everybody. They'd love me by the time they got done beating me up.
You know, I'm not much of a traveler either. My wife she lived in Sweden for 6 months when she was in college, and she always wants to go back, so I'd probably go take my wife back to Sweden and take the kids, because that seems like it'd be a fun place to visit. But no, I'm really not much of a big vacation guy. My idea of a fun time is just relaxing and resting and being able to. I'm a reader, so I'd like to be at a place that's quiet and I can read a book for a couple of days and I'd be good.
Now I'm imagining some, like, commercial, what was it? It was, like, a series of Corona ads where it was always just, like, two people on the beach, and all you could hear was the beach.
The beach,
it was just 30 seconds of listening to the beach and just them, you know, the shuffle of the beer bottles and maybe them reading.
Yep.
Is that what you have in mind?
Well, maybe
not the Corona.
No, that would be ideal.
Oh, okay.
That would be a great vacation.
Okay. Well, I guess I kind of whiffed on that one in terms of question. Not to say your answers weren't good, but...
I'm boring. Mr. Pitts, I liked his better.
Well, some people like that. I mean, I know Matt's one of those people who would love to visit every MLB stadium.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Which I totally get, because I feel like there's something about being in a city with the hardcore crazy people filling out a stadium and, you know, taking in that energy.
Yeah.
Although I feel like watching some sports, the energy is sometimes really lacking with some fan bases. It's like, I don't know if I would get the same out of going to a Jacksonville Jaguars game in August.
Yeah, probably not.
Just all the traditions are just be fun to see. Like, if you haven't been to Kinnick Stadium and at the end of the first quarter when everybody turns and waves to the children's hospital. I mean, you see that on TV and they cut away from it. But when you're there, I mean, that's powerful stuff. It's just, and every stadium's got something, you know, and college football, it's good. Pro football doesn't, not as much for me, but the college is just, I mean, those people are diehard fans. It's good.
That's awesome.
So I guess the next question I would have randomly off my list, what would you consider the best fast food burger? And there's going to be an issue with this because I know there's a debate over what fast food is now in terms of, you know, is it one of the drive-ins? Is it a diner? Is Five Guys fast food? I'd be curious what y'all say. And I don't know what it is, but when I think of the best fast food burger, I always think of Shake Shack.
That's all right.
And I think it's because I know that they try to put in a lot of chuck into the just a regular ground beef so that it has more of a flavor and pop to it. And I just, I don't know, I like the way it's grilled as well. But best fast food burger.
I got two. I'd go White Castle or In-N-Out.
Oh, White Castle. Well, dang it, now I need to, I need to re-examine it now. What do you think about Crystal, which, for those out there who don't know, I don't know, maybe you're one of them as well, but there's a southern fast food burger chain that's basically a rip-off of White Castle, even though I think they came out around the same decade. But it's also tiny little sliders, onions on top, and it's more southern than White Castle.
I'd never heard of it. Huh. No, I go White Castle. I mean, any day, like you're in St. Louis, that's the stop.
When did you have White Castle? Because there's none in Nebraska.
No, I used to go to St. Louis all the time, and that was like the destination.
Did you just like buy a Crave case? Which for those Crave out case, there, that's like yes. That's like 24 burgers.
I think. A bunch. Yeah.
I had a friend in college who him and his brother. They went to St. Louis for that purpose. They bought a Crave case and they just ate the whole thing on the way back.
No, that'd be it for me. In-N-Out's fantastic also.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't beat that.
So the problem I had with In-N-Out is I feel like it was hyped up too much for me. And so I was kind of like, it's good. Not great, but to each their own.
Yeah.
But I will say Animal Style is the way to go there.
Yes. Amen to that.
Pitts, have you
thought? I like them all. Like,
I was going to say, as soon as I started saying the question, I could read the look on your face like, of, ooh.
I didn't narrow that
It's down. Like picking a child.
There's a place in Des Moines called Bebop's. It's pretty good.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, Bebop's is good. I like them all. Wendy's. I like Wendy's because we don't have that. It's like,
Well, and how many places have that square patty?
Yeah, I think that fits.
Cool. That sometimes just like really just works perfect on a burger.
Yeah, I just like burgers, in general.
So what is
I raise cattle too? So
oh, okay,
you gotta eat beef.
Yes, you do.
So when you make your own burger, what do?
Just make a big old fat patty and throw it on the grill.
Okay,
nothing special. Salt and pepper.
Now, some people will put mustard on it before grilling it to kind of...
Or mayonnaise, sometimes.
I have not done that yet. I've heard of that.
I haven't done it either. I'm just a straight-up burger guy.
Yeah. No condiments?
Ketchup, mustard, pickle. Sometimes lettuce, tomato. Just kind of depends.
Okay.
Depends on my mood.
Seems like
pretty simple guy.
I was going to say, it seems very straightforward. Nothing. Yeah. No A1 or pepper jack cheese. Straightforward American burger.
Yep. Chili dogs are my favorite, probably. So, nice. That's a whole nother conversation.
Do either of you, and I don't know why my brain does this sometimes, but do either of you remember that Hardee's burger that was called, I swear I'm not making this up, it was called the America Burger, and it had a hot dog cut down the middle so it sat flat on top with Lay's potato chips on it.
I remember the dog on the burger. I remember. Do you remember the free fixins bar at Hardee's?
You buy like a
49-cent hamburger, and then you walk over to like a lettuce, tomato, pickle, and you make like a 6-inch tall burger that just tasted like vegetables.
That was a while ago.
That was dialing the clock back.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Oh yeah.
I remember they were going through some weird phase in the 90s, and at one point I think they had, like, tacos. Like, they were trying to compete with Jack in the Box.
Yeah. Jack in the Box is good, too.
Jack in the Box is all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, where else can you go at 2 in the morning for, well, it's not a dollar anymore, but two tacos for a buck.
I know.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
A lot of late nights doing Uber, and a lot of people like, can you go through the drive-thru at Jack in the Box? I want tacos.
Heck yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I just thank everybody in Maryville for giving me the opportunity to serve the school district for 25 years, and it's been awesome. And my two kids got a great education in Maryville, and we moved back 21 years ago, and I promised my wife I'd do everything in my power not to get fired so our kids could go K-12 through the same school district, and somehow I pulled that off, and it's been a great career.
Deal.
All right. Well,
and I just want to thank Mr. Pitts, and not only Mr. Pitts, but we've got, I believe, 8 total retirees this year at Maryville R2, and we're losing some good ones, and just have made significant, and I mean significant, contributions to our school district and have been so great to our kids for many decades. And so we really appreciate everything they've done, whether they're teaching in classrooms or working in our business office, whatever the case might be, have made great contributions to our school district. So thank you to all of our retirees this year.
Support for Spoofound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, KawasakiMaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at MazingoLake.com.